Ticket Deck's coming in. Are you willing to give Gores any credit?
Sure, for spending money. I mean, that's the one thing we've asked for our owners to do.
Well, his name comes up on the ticket text. Does this mean Chris Illich will follow suit and get rid of Javier Baez, Mark dying of heat exhaustion?
Yeah, that was when this news broke yesterday. It was a lot of people saying, hey, this had to be done. You know, had tip of a cap to Gores. And then it was instantly Javi Baez.
It's wait, this is allowed?
Yeah.
You can pay a lot of money to get rid of a mistake. Monty Williams, the hiring was a mistake. Gore stepping in and seemingly overruling his general manager, as bad a GM as Weaver was, is bad form. Gore's should be criticized for that. He should be criticized for his letter around Christmas Day or his message to fans around Christmas Day. He should be criticized for his overall tenure as owner of the Detroit Pistons. I won't criticize buying out Monty Williams. That's called stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
I think there's room to give credit where credit's due. And this is one instance, one of very few, that I think we can give Gores credit, especially when you juxtapose it with what's going on with our baseball team. Texter says, other than tapping the table while talking through a tough loss, Monty Williams is a horrible coach. Glad to see him go. Relax, fellas. Gore still hasn't faced the media, or more importantly, the fans. Don't praise him. He has a track record of holding on to clowns.
Well, so the track record is, and I don't know if I'm going to just, I'm not going to go as far as calling them clowns, but his track record of making hires is not good.
This will be the sixth head coach in 13 years.
Yeah. So in terms of head coaches, you know, he bought the team in 2011. The head coaches have been, you know, Lawrence Frank, Mo Cheeks, and John Lawyer in 14, Stan Van Gundy, 15 to 18, and then Dwayne Casey. And now, obviously, you know, our most recent with Monty Williams.
Yep.
And Dwayne Casey was supposed to be the bridge guy, the guy that was brought in coming off of a, you know, he was relieved of duty in Toronto, but he was coach of the year. Oh, how could that possibly be?
Old school defensive guy, let's bring him in here.
Yeah, we'll you know, berate these guys into making it happen. Or, you know,
he'll
old
be the
school
adult
guy.
In the room. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So the question then is, and we kind of went through the traits that we wanted in the next head coach.
Do you have some names?
I do.
Okay.
And they're ones that most people have heard. And here's the thing is, there are some guys that I would say, yes, I want these guys, or at least I want them to bring in, you know, for an interview. And there are other ones where Trajan Langdon is probably going to follow the path that so many other GMs or president of basketball operations have done. Familiarity.
Yep.
What I know, what I'm comfortable with, who I have a relationship with, because you're going to have some tough conversations over their tenure. Who do I have a relationship where I know I can have these conversations?
You know who that guy is, and who is the number one name on a list, just about all of them, when you Google next Pistons head coach?
James Borrego.
Borrego. He was an assistant head coach in New Orleans, where Langdon comes from. He's been an NBA head coach before with a bad franchise in the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
He got him above 500, and that's where the story ended. He was fired after four seasons. I was curious. I wanted to look back and see why was he fired. And some of it is maybe Charlotte thought they could do better.
Yeah.
Some of it is he did lose guys in that locker room. And that is a concern with a team that is largely rudderless. Borrego would not be my number one name. Would he be your number one name?
He would be near the top of the list.
Okay.
I don't know
because
that I have a number one. Yeah, well, from familiarity, and this is only a fact because it's happened. It means nothing in regards to the quality of coach that he would be. He's also been interviewed by the Lakers and the Cavs, albeit not hired by the Lakers and the Cavs, but they've kicked the tires on James Borrego as well.
The name I like, you mentioned the Cavaliers, J.B. Bickerstaff.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for 4 years, and after two, they made the playoffs in year three. And they advanced deeper in the playoffs in his fourth season. There was progress every year under Bickerstaff. Do I think he's the coach that's going to win an NBA title for the Pistons? No. I also think it's ridiculous to even be talking NBA title for the Pistons. Could he be a guy that comes in here and sets the tone, develops a couple young guards the way they did in Cleveland? Right? I think Garland was a huge beneficiary of his coaching. Could he help Cade Cunningham become that facilitator with shooting around him? They liked bigs who could shoot there, and he was able to find a way to orchestrate that. They were top 10 in three-point attempts. Like, he feels like a guy who is an adult. He's been around the block. He's been a head coach. He's showed progression, including a team that's made the playoffs and won a playoff series. I would love to see J.B. Bickerstaff get a real shot at this job. He's my number one name this morning.
Well, here's what I'll ask you the question of, and here's why I like him as well. So I said, you know, is Borrego my number one? No, right now I probably have two, maybe three guys that would be at the top of my list, and I haven't been able to narrow it down to who actually I want because it's so fresh. But in regards to J.B. Bickerstaff, what was the roster like when he took over in Cleveland?
Right. Young. Unproven.
Very similar to where the Pistons are now. And that's where it does put a check in the pro column for J.B. Bickerstaff in the fact that he is on the younger version of a head coach who I do believe can relate to the players and what a voice that they'll listen to because he showed in Cleveland that he can take over a young roster. And it took some time, but he can get them better every year and eventually to the playoffs because it was, I mean, okay, 2019-20, he took over late in the season, but let's just say, you know, 20 and that year. It was the COVID year. It was 22-50. Year two, or because I'm not going to include the first year.
Yeah.
44-38. Two times in terms of the win column.
Doubled up the wins. A breakthrough season in his third year. I mean, that's what you look for. Yes.
More games in that year, but then obviously 51, and then a little bit of a step back this year, but further in the playoffs. First round in his fourth year of making the playoffs, and then his final year, which is obviously relieved of duty at the end of the year, made it to the conference semifinals.
Right. We've seen progression from him, and I think that's encouraging from a coaching candidate, is a guy that did get better. That third season breakthrough, right, where, hey, you've been through it, you've got some continuity. He inherited a team and very early on with a young backcourt, Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. Now, Sexton got flipped for Donovan Mitchell. It's the right move. But Sexton was playing well, too. He did a good job with some young guards, and that's what the Pistons are staring at right now with Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and who the hell knows what they do at five, but you want a coach that you feel like can coach this group up and get the most out of them in the coming years. It's not going to happen overnight. 248-539-9797. Tom's going to present us a bunch of names with a thumbs up and a thumbs down. Let's get to the phones first. Start with Irvin in Ann Arbor. Irvin, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you guys, and shout out to my Hellgate group. I know John know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, I got some popular names here. And I don't know if you guys, I mean, you guys might go along with you, might not. I would suggest that maybe we could bring Chauncey Billups in to be a coach or a general manager because he can evaluate talent, and he has been coached by Larry Brown. Or you can have Tayshaun's in, he's in the front office, I believe, at Memphis. You can bring him in as the GM or Chauncey's GM, and he's vice versa, or let Stackhouse be the coach of the Pistons. Either way, I don't think you can lose. One thing I can say about Tayshaun and Chauncey, they're very smart guys. They can evaluate talent. And I think they would be a good, plus it'd be pretty popular because they're well known here already as it is anyway. So that's my take on it.
I don't dispute that these guys are guys who know basketball. Yeah. Well, I always want to push back a little on, are we doing this because it's familiar? I almost want to grade them harder because it's the easy thing to do is to like win the press conference and go, Mr. Big Shots here. Tayshaun, remember the block. It's all going to be better. We're going to do it like we did back then. That was a really tough formula to replicate. Yeah. What made that team special is that no one has ever been able to do that, build a team that way. I respect those guys, but I don't want to hire them just because they played here.
Right. It feels very, it's kind of interesting that the call would come from Ann Arbor as well. It feels very Michigan. A Michigan man has to coach this team. A Pistons man has to coach this team. No one knows better than a Pistons man.
Hire the right guy. If he happens to have Piston connections, great. But don't narrow your search to guys who wore the uniform.